Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. You don't have to be in the defense industry to use an unmanned or robotic vehicle. But if you need one, Harold Wilson wants you to come to Medicine Hat to get it. And Science Alberta Foundation has called a thought summit in Banff to tackle its concerns over science awareness. And the Alberta Irrigation Projects Association has produced a new movie on water for grade 8 students. It's called Every Drop Counts. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Medicine Hat is a small and historic community sitting smack in the dryland of southeastern Alberta. It's not the sort of place that might immediately strike you as a hotbed of innovation and leading-edge technology. But that's an image Harold Wilson is working hard to change. Why, he's even had the Swedish Navy knocking on his door looking for the latest in robotic vehicles. Harold is the Executive Director of the Economic Development Alliance of Southeast Alberta.
So what is it that you're actually doing down in Medicine Hat?
We do a lot of things. One of my projects overall, we're there to help to strategically grow the economy. So areas like energy development, not just the oil and gas, but also alternative energies and new energy strategies. Also work in the value-added agriculture, the value chain, trying to encourage more and more development. And then there's knowledge-based enterprises. We're trying to do a lot more with that. And a thin sliver, if you will, of aerospace, defense, whatever you'd like to call it, is the unmanned vehicle systems area, where we have what I would call an unfair competitive advantage. So what I like to do is identify those types of advantages and figure out how we can do a lot more with what we have. How can we eke a lot more value from these wonderful assets?
Well, just using the unmanned vehicles as an example, why do you have an unfair advantage there?
Yes, very unfair competitive advantage. The main reason is that about 45 kilometers away from downtown Medicine Hat is DRDC, that's Defense Research and Development Canada's Suffield facilities. And it was in the mid-80s that they were given a mandate to develop robotics and unmanned vehicles. And when you take a look at this industry in Canada, every company can pretty well trace its roots and its genesis to what was going on, the research at DRDC Suffield.
Tell me about these unmanned vehicles. How do they actually work?
Well, we have, although a lot of people think of them as air vehicles, and there's been a lot of advancement in that whole field. They started out mainly as air, but there's also ground vehicles and marine craft as well. It's interesting that while we do live in the desert in Medicine Hat, we have the number one exporter of naval equipment in Canada. So it seems a bit counterintuitive, but if you're doing something right, the world will beat a path to your door. I mean, the Swedish Navy comes there because we have something quite valuable. And so these types of vehicles, they were originally there, in a lot of cases, for drones, for targets. And now they've become somewhat platforms for a lot more sophisticated, everything from sensing equipment, visual. They can do some really important work. One of my friends describes it that's in the business, as they do those things that are dull, dirty, and dangerous.
Obviously, this is working with the unmanned vehicles and the fact that you've got the Suffield station there. How are you taking that then and applying that to the other areas? You mentioned energy, for example.
Well, I guess we see that there's great opportunities. To me, again, I like to do the thing where you just put some people in a room, and we know that some people in these industries have a lot of challenges, I mean, great challenges, and not just, say, in our area, a lot of it is the shallow gas development, but we take a look at offshore oil development and pipelines and that. And again, if you look at those principles, the dull, dirty, and dangerous, are there some things where, especially issues of labor and other things that are going on, where there may be some fantastic solutions that are out there for some of these challenges? And some of the people working in unmanned vehicle systems, they're not sitting there saying, geez, we should go to the oil and gas people, or let's see what we can do for agriculture or for forestry. Their concentration overall has been defense. But you put some of these incredible minds together with some people from industry that can say, here's some of the challenges, start talking, there's going to be some great solutions. We've seen a few of those ideas have come out. And we just need more venues, more forums, if you will, to bring some of these people together. And I think that's where the innovation is really going to come from.
Now, Medicine Hat is on the Alberta side of the border, but you're fairly close to Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Is there some synergy there in the energy?
Oh, in energy, definitely. In fact, one of the great things that I've been having some fun with is I've got a wonderful counterpart in Swift Current, Marty Salberg. We've been working together, as well as in northern Montana, the people from Bear Paw Development in Haver, and had all three of us do a presentation jointly at a Gas City Petroleum show in May, because we're all on the Western Sedimentary Basin. It's all shallow gas. But if you look at the actual development that's taken place over the last, 100 years, not that much has really happened in southwest Saskatchewan yet, or in northern Montana. That's going to come. The more drilling that's taking place in those jurisdictions, the better it is for the secondary and tertiary businesses in my area that have been servicing it for a long time. And I think that's sustainability for us and for them. So we're working together jointly, and I'm looking forward to a lot of new and great ideas about how we're going to be able to collectively develop that area, and it's going to be good for all of our economies.
Thank you very much, Harold.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Harold Wilson is the Executive Director of the Economic Development Alliance of Southeast Alberta. The low rate of science literacy among the general population has long been an issue for educators. So Science Alberta Foundation decided to tackle the problem, and this past weekend gathered a group of international experts in Banff for a very sophisticated brainstorming session on how to improve science awareness. Arlene Ponting is the CEO of Science Alberta Foundation.
What we want to do is we really want to envisage what a stellar science learning and science promotion program across the province should be. And we really believe that there are new ideas, fresh approaches to this. And this is an international exercise. Other countries are doing this, and we wanted to gather expertise from around the world to come to the Banff Center in this crucible of creativity that is what is there in Banff, and to really imagine what that can be.
Who are some of the people that you've invited?
Right. We've been very successful in attracting very big minds. We're very happy to have Dr. Carl Wieman, who is attending. Dr. Wieman is a Nobel Prize winner in physics, but he's also extremely interested in science education and is working collaboratively with the University of British Columbia and has a very large grant there to enhance science education at UBC. So he takes his passion for physics and his passion for education and is really mobilizing this education piece. He's one. We have eight all totaled. We also have an individual, Suzanne King. Suzanne King has been very instrumental in science policy and science society in the United Kingdom. So she's coming at this from a perspective of what kind of policy pieces need to be in place to get that science culture. So she's pretty fascinating. And we are very fascinated always with Finland. Their students do top of the world in math and science. They top us. We're third and fourth. So we always like to look to the winner to find out what they do. And we have an individual who is very involved in science education at the university who's coming from Finland. So those are a few examples.
Why is this so important to you?
I think that when we're talking about science and education, which is kind of the foundation of innovation, we need to be innovative too. We strongly believe that the prosperous nations of the future are going to get this science piece correct. We believe that we're in a world of change, and our quality of life and our lifestyle isn't guaranteed, and we firmly believe that science and technology advancements are going to help us maintain our lifestyle.
What do you see as being lacking now in the outreach or the communication about science?
I don't think it's top of mind, and I don't think science is a habit of mind. I think that it's still connotated in terms of school science, in terms of laboratories and textbooks. And if we're going to have a science culture, we need to have people thinking about things in a scientific way. And all these problems that we have, climate change, genetically modified foods, wind power, and whether that adds to the grid in the way we need. What about biofuels and the impact they're going to have on the food supply? All of this takes a science habit of mind.
What is going to happen with all of these grand thoughts that come out of this summit?
Good question. We very much see this as a piece that we want to produce. We have a scribe who's going to be there. So there's going to be a report that comes from this. There's going to be kind of a blueprint, a vision, and some concrete implementation things, we hope. You know, it's early, because when we get all those bright people together, it takes a lot of keen facilitation to focus that intelligence. But that's our goal. Science Alberta Foundation will be a very strong advocate in moving this piece along and inviting people to come and be part of this vision.
Thank you very much, Arlene.
My pleasure.
That was Arlene Ponting, CEO of Science Alberta Foundation. One of the invited thought leaders at the Banff Summit on Science Awareness and Outreach was Ian Allen. Ian traveled from Australia, where he is the executive producer for Science and Health, in the new media division at the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. ABC is a publicly funded broadcaster, and its foray into webcasting about science has won international attention. I asked Ian about his thoughts on science.
I guess my take on science is I don't see it as science with a capital S. I sort of see it, I see science as being a cultural activity in the sense that it's part of the things that we do that define who we are. And certainly in the Western world, every single Western economy that you think of, science is something that we all do. So whether the older generation is thinking of science with a capital S and the younger generation is not, that could be part of the why it's a perceived problem rather than a real one. But at the same time, we do know that we have a problem and that the number of graduates or people who are going into tertiary education as scientists, engineering, technologists is declining as a portion of our total population. And why is that, and what are the implications for the future? I'm not sure.
The work that you do with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation and the science online broadcasting that you do, I suppose we can't even call it broadcasting anymore, can we, with all the new technology. But you're having an awful lot of fun with what you're doing, contests about belly lint and the science of belly lint.
Yes, I mean, the exciting thing about the internet from a media organisation's point of view is it's completely new territory. I mean, we're treating the internet as a medium in its own right in the same way that television is not radio with is much more than just radio with pictures. Television's got strengths and weaknesses that radio doesn't have, and so does the internet. The internet's really good for some things. It does some things so much better than TV or radio can ever do, because it's interactive and it can be much more personal and intimate than the mass media. And also you have the idea of on demand. You can access the stuff when you want it, and already we're finding with our radio programs, which we're making available as podcasts, to actually increase the actual listenership by a huge amount, by up to 30% in some cases, just because people can listen to the programs at a time when it suits them. So it's all very exciting, and it changes all the time. It's unfolding. It's not a mature technology by any means. So every day we have the opportunity to think of some new way to push the limits and see what happens. It's very good fun.
For yourself, though, why do you stick with this science medium? You could be talking about all kinds of different things, politics, sociology, all kinds of stuff.
I just think the sciences are incredibly interesting, and the people who work in are incredibly interesting. So it's a very sort of satisfying kind of area to work in. And also, you know, we're living in probably the most challenging period of human history. When you think about things like global warming, the scale of that problem is mind-boggling, really, and you sort of think, how are we going to resolve? Is this going to require human cooperation globally, something that I don't think we've, on a scale we've never really ever achieved before. So, and you know, at the same time, we've got this gap between the rich and the poor parts of the world, so how do we work together to solve this common problem? But on the other hand, we're probably the best-equipped generation to ever take on a challenge like this, so that's why it's very exciting, very interesting times.
When you look at those really huge issues, what do you, as a journalist, as a producer, how do you approach those in order to help people get their heads around them? When you're producing a story for online or for television or for radio, what is the approach that you take?
Well, what we kind of orientate our material for is what we call intelligent young adults. And what we mean by that is people over the age of 15, because the word intelligent can apply to anybody. And we just figure that so long as we treat the audience with respect, which we do because they are intelligent, the material we're putting forward hopefully will appeal to someone who's a thinker. I guess that's kind of the key, respect.
What do you think will come out of this BAMP summit?
Well, it's the first time this has ever been done, so I'm intensely curious to see. I don't know what will come out of it, but I'm looking forward to having a conversation with, you know, my colleagues from other parts of the world, and I'm sure each of us is going to bring a different perspective and a different take on what we see are the problems and what may be the solutions. So I don't know what will come out of it, but I think it will be something good. I'm certainly very pleased that I was able to come along.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Thank you.
That was Ian Allen of the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. He is the executive producer for Science and Health in ABC's new media division. Ian was a participant in the BAMP Summit on Science Awareness and Outreach, which was organized by Science Alberta Foundation. That lively music comes from a new DVD called Every Drop Counts. The singers are four grade 8 students from Canmore, Alberta, and they're really acting in a four-part series about water. This ambitious undertaking was produced by a consortium led by the Alberta Irrigation Projects Association in Lethbridge, and David Hill is the association's executive director.
What we wanted to do was find a very engaging way to allow kids to teach their peers the importance of water. And so this connects with the grade 8 science curriculum in Unit E on freshwater systems. And by the kids' experiences that they have, they actually end up teaching their classmates all the important things that all of us need to know about water and how important it is to us.
What's the storyline?
The storyline follows these four grade 8 students as they choose to compete in a contest to write a song about water. The contest is run by the United Nations Decade of Water for Life, and if they win, they get to win some money, they get to go to the Junos, and actually these kids hope that they become famous. And because we were actually in charge of writing the script, at the end of the fourth video, they actually do win the song contest.
Now they have a mentor in there, Uncle Bob, and Uncle Bob looks awfully familiar to me.
Yeah, Uncle Bob is actually Bob Sanford, who is the Canadian chair of the United Nations Decade of Water for Life and a longtime Canmore resident. And so he plays one of the kids, Uncle Bob, and is their tutor and mentor as they go through these four episodes to learn about water.
How do you incorporate the science into this?
What we wanted to do in incorporating the science is we went right down to the core curriculum requirements that have been established for grade 8 science, and then we built a storyline that would allow them to experience the science themselves. And they do that through watching a couple videos when they visit Bob in his home, and then in the last two videos, they're out of a home, at one time along a creek talking with a stream and fisheries biologist, and then another time they're down in irrigation country in southern Alberta getting up close and personal with potatoes and reservoirs.
How does this relate then to the rest of Alberta in terms of water and watersheds?
We picked the South Saskatchewan Basin as kind of the area to do the filming, but what it really does is it speaks about watersheds and it speaks as how we as individuals connect with water. How is it important in our lives and what is it that we can do about it? And so it's relevant through the entire province. And the materials that we've put together at the website and in the teacher's guide all focus on watersheds that are in the province. So now, when students use this in their school, they'll actually get a new address. They'll know what watershed they live in and why that's important.
You've had a lot of people who have helped you out with this, and when you look at the website, there's one section there, as you were mentioning, you can find your own watershed. You've got all these satellite images there. Who provided those?
We had a really good partnership with Iunctus Geomatics, which is a firm out of Lethbridge, and they have access to all of the satellite telemetry from the SPOT satellite constellation, and they've actually made all of that data available to us, again, at no charge, so that students can use some of the sexiest, neatest technology to actually help them learn about water.
Now that everything is produced and you're launching it, where is this going?
It's going to be made available at no cost, primarily to all grade 8 teachers in the province who want it. All they have to do is go to the website or give us a phone call, and we'll send them a kit. Inside Education in Edmonton, that does professional development training for teachers, is also going to provide professional development training in how to use the materials, and they'll be distributing it as well through all of their programs at teachers' conventions.
Now, this winning song... What did you get out of that winning song?
You know, the song was kind of the vehicle for the story, and when we started, it wasn't that important. But what we found in working with the kids, as they experienced the videos in their acting, they actually began to connect with the song. And the song at the end wraps up everything, and it brings everything together in a very good way to deliver the message, and I think in a way that kids will really understand the importance and also understand that they can do something about it. They're not powerless. They're actually the future leaders that will likely have to deal with some of these issues. And so the song brings all of that together and really leaves you with the impression that we've got the skills, we've got the intellect, we just have to have the will to make a difference.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I hope you enjoy watching it, and I'm sure teachers are going to enjoy using it.
That was David Hill, Executive Director of the Alberta Irrigation Projects Association in Lethbridge, and he can now add movie producer to his CV. Well, let's hear a bit more of that song from Every Drop Counts.
It's free, water falling from the sky. You better run, watch, so never ask why. One drop, a glass, a bucket, and more. We're talking about water, salty, frozen, and pure.
A cleaner car, a lawn all nice and green. You wouldn't waste water if you saw what we've seen. People use it like the rain and weather sight. We know better, and we're here to put it right. Gotta make you understand that it's your future now at hand. Go ahead and have fun, go ahead and use some, but don't you waste a drop, because
every drop counts.
Coming down is rain and snow.
Every drop counts.
Mother Nature's tears and solid ice up there, and it's melting away, and it's wasting away, and I gotta do something about it. I need water in my future, no doubt about it.
Look what we're doing to the rivers and the streams. We're kidding ourselves, everything that they're clean.
A wasted drop, a consequence of action, a fatal mistake with a fatal reaction.
Every living thing needs a water to waste, so take a big gulp, you're gonna see how it tastes.
All those animals and fish and birds and bugs, how they gonna live if we go and pull the plug?
That's the song from the new four-part school video called Every Drop Counts, and you can view the full music video at YouTube on the internet. And teachers can order the video series from the Alberta Irrigation Projects Association. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our e-newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Ingenuity, Alberta Advanced Education and Technology, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Conservation Association, Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, Alberta Gaming Research Institute, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, and the NSERC Industrial Chair in Integrated Landscape Management. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.